Father, we just love you this morning with all creation. Lord, we sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. God, if that's not a reality in our heart this morning, we might as well pack it up and go home. God, I just pray that your Spirit, God, would be working in our lives today, to be working in our hearts that we talked about, Lord, that our hearts would be ready to receive your word today.
Yes.
And Lord, that we would be ready, to produce a harvest for you when we leave this place and go out into the world and fulfill and be a part of the kingdom of God and that great commission that you gave us. God, I just pray that you would remove all distractions away from us today and that we would focus on your goodness and your holiness.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You want to turn to Matthew chapter 13? We're going to continue in our study. All right. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24 through 30, focused or distracted? Are we focused this morning or are we distracted? Am I focused this morning? Am I distracted by the humming sound in the speaker? Am I distracted by the wind? Am I distracted by the troubles that I've come in here with? Am I distracted by what's going to happen this afternoon or worried about life? Am I focused on the kingdom of God or am I distracted? Last week we took a soil sample, or we asked God, or hopefully we allowed God to take a soil sample of our hearts. As we read Jesus' words in the parable of the farmer sowing the seeds, we all were challenged. Hopefully we were encouraged and challenged to really evaluate the condition of our heart. Is our heart hardened to the point where it's unwilling to receive God's word? We're so bitter and angry, whatever circumstances that are going, something's not going our right, or maybe we just can't believe that God could love us that much. Whatever it is, has our heart become hardened to where we even sit through a church service with a sour look on our face and just us so upset that we can't even enjoy the church service? Is our heart hardened to the point where when God's word, it wants to come and take root, Satan snatches it away? Maybe our heart receives God's word, but it's only on the surface level. It's here while we're here on church service, but as soon as we go back out into the world, we don't have enough roots. We don't invest the time to really get rid of that bedrock underneath, and we don't have the roots to really withstand the world, withstand the drought when it comes. And then we wither all too soon. Or maybe our hearts receive the word of God with joy and we go out into the world, but we keep getting tangled up. We keep getting choked out by the worries of life, the thorns of this life, the lure of wealth. Well, hopefully our hearts this morning are ready for God's word to be planted in this good soil, to germinate his word in our life. Maybe we're all in different circumstances, different ways of life. Maybe God wants to fertilize it this morning. Maybe God wants to water. Maybe God just wants to make it grow a little bit this morning. Then and only then can we produce a harvest. Jesus told us 30, 60, even 100 times more than what was planted. That should encourage us this morning. I hope we all spent time this past week letting God work in our hearts, evaluating our soil, because he wants to prepare our soil again this morning. That wasn't a one-time thing just when he's teaching about that. That wasn't the one-time time that he just talks about wanting to work in our heart. He wants to plant his seed again today. He wants to water and feed what has already been planted. He wants to produce a harvest 30, 60, even 100 times more than was planted last week, or maybe the week before, or maybe when you were a child. So before we get started today, I have a question for you this morning. And this is one of those questions where I want a response back, all right? I'm expecting for you to answer yes or no. So if your answer to this question is yes, I would ask that you would not just mumble it, not just speak it, but shout it out this morning. And it's this word, amen. Y'all ever heard that? Oh, man.
Amen.
All right, so here we go. That wasn't the question. So I'll let you off the hook on there. Are you ready for the Word of God today?
Amen.
Are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Well, today we're going to see Jesus giving us His Word, and He's addressing this very relevant topic for us today. In this parable that we're getting ready to read through, and that I'm going to attempt to preach through, Jesus addresses the basic question of the presence of evil in this world, and is it our place to place judgment on that evil? And I believe that this parable has some very practical answers and lessons for me and for you today. So let's read Matthew chapter 23, verse 24 through 30. The parable of the wheat and the weeds. Here is another story that Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seeds in his field. But at night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went out and went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer explained. "Should we pull out all the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied, "you'll uproot the wheat if you do that. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just pray this morning that your word is real to every person's heart this morning that's here. Everybody that's listening online, and maybe they'll be listening to the podcast later, that the word of God, your scriptures, your God-inspired, your God-breathed words that we just read, the very words that are quoted that Jesus yourself, that you talked about, God, while you were here, God, let them be real to us this morning. Let them be real to you. Let your Holy Spirit work in our lives that we may experience, the goodness of God today, to experience that relationship with God. Experience your presence through the Holy Spirit that we sing about. And Lord, we just pray that it would produce a harvest, all for your glory, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start this morning. If you want to go back to verse 24, let's spend just a few minutes on this first verse. The parable of the wheat and the weeds. This is what it says. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. So this, I just want to stop before we go into this, before we really get into this, and really do we understand the first thing that we really need to know this. The field represents the world. Okay, so when he's talking about the seed being planted in the field, that field is the world that we live in. The man who sows the good seed is Jesus Christ. And the good seeds are the righteous people who follow his word and receive it and go out and serve him. So before we go any farther, we have to take note of at least two things this morning about this. What does Christ do? What does Christ do? Not what did Christ used to do or he did when he was walking on the earth, but what does he actively do? Well, it tells us right here in this parable, his work is to sow righteous people into the world, to sow righteous seeds into the field. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man," this is Jesus talking about himself, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." He didn't say he came to look for them once. That's it. He's actively talking about he came to seek and save those who were lost. So the first thing we need to remember about this is Christ and his work is to sow righteous people into this evil world. Number two, who is the owner of the field? Who is the owner of the world? Jesus Christ is also who they're speaking of. He is the owner of the field. The world is Jesus Christ's field. If you don't believe me, go to Colossians 1:16. You can write it down, look at it later, but I'm going to read it for you. "For through him," he's talking about Jesus, "through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see, and he made the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him." So as we go through this parable, we must remember that Christ is active not only in the United States of America. See, sometimes we get not only in Fourth Union, and sometimes we put God in this little bubble of our perspective in life. But Christ is active in the entire world right now as we speak, sowing and wanting to sow good seeds into the soil, into His field. He is sowing seeds of righteousness here at Fourth Union Baptist Church this morning. Christ is active in His field, and He is active in the world that He owns, that was created for Him, through Him, and all for His glory and all for His purpose. So why do we need to really note these things before we go any farther? Well, I believe that you must believe and understand this as we continue to read and go through verse 25. So look at verse 25, and this is what it says. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away. Now, I know it might be obvious for some who have been here before, maybe who have been to other churches or grew up in the church or spent time reading the Word, but we have to really break it down this morning. We have to assume that maybe we don't understand this. So if Christ is the owner of the field and His good seeds are the believers and the righteous people in Christ in the world, we know that no righteousness comes through anything that we can do. It all comes through Christ. But if the good seeds are the righteous people in Christ, then who is the enemy? Well, the enemy, of course, that he speaks of is Satan, the devil, the evil one. And he sows weeds among the wheat. Christ is telling us that we are the wheat. See, this is Satan's goal. This is his whole purpose in his kingdom and what he wants to do. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He is a thief. And he always goes against what is true and what is holy. If there's anything pure and of God, if there's anything that's holy, if there's anything that's just and perfect and pure, Satan is against it and he's going to attack it. So if Satan is the enemy, who do the weeds represent? Who do those weeds that are popping up among the righteous, who does that represent? Well, the seeds actually represent the children of the devil. They are the evil people, the wicked people of this world that live in this world. That might be something that's not real popular to talk about in this year. Year 2021, probably in year 2020, it wasn't real popular to talk about evil. It wasn't real popular to talk about the devil. It's not real popular this morning to talk about evil people in this world, children of the devil. You don't hear a lot of sermons on the evil one. You don't hear a lot of sermons on, you know, people rebuking and how we should rebuke evil and resist the temptations of the devil. But today we're going to talk about it. Why? Not because I'm a better preacher than anybody else or because I've got it all figured out, but because Jesus Himself talked about it. Go through the New Testament. Go through Jesus' teaching and see how much He really talks about the devil. See how much He really talks about hell. It's important to talk about. Why? Because Jesus talked about it. So there's two things that we need to understand about our enemy today. Number one is this: the devil sows his seeds in the world while the workers in the field are asleep. In fact, the devil always operates best in the darkness. Jenny always says that with worry and anytime the devil's really going to attack you, it's when you're alone. A lot of times it's when you're at night. If you struggle with anxiety, sometimes I've struggled with it. When does the devil really attack you? When you're laying in bed at night, everything, all the other distractions are gone, and you're laying there by yourself, that's when he really starts attacking after you. When you're by yourself, that's when the devil really comes to tempt you. He always sneaks around while we are asleep. You see, all too often as Christ's followers, we as the church, us Christians, we might come to church on Sunday. We might pray before a meal. We might have a coffee cup every morning that we drink out of that has a Bible verse on it. But we are all too often, we find ourselves asleep. We find ourselves just slumbering. We find ourselves too busy with our own affairs and our own agendas and our own plans. Maybe we're just too unconcerned. If we're honest with ourselves, and we're just like, yeah, I know there's evil out there, but ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't have time to mess with it. Or maybe I don't believe that it can really be overcome, and I'm overcome by it, and I think that there's no hope in the world. See, sometimes we forget that while we're slumbering, while we're sleeping, the devil doesn't take a day off, right? He doesn't take a day off. He never stops trying to destroy what God designed. He's always prowling around looking for someone or something to devour. And he works best when we are complacent, the believers, the righteous, when the wheat is complacent in the field. While we're not actively working, us workers in the field, we're not actively working, this is when the devil works the best. This is when he gets his most work accomplished. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, stay alert. Right there. So he knows this is a problem. Peter knew this was a problem. God knows it's a problem. Jesus knew it was a problem. He's saying, stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Number two, the second thing we need to understand about our enemy is this. The devil sows seeds in the same field that the Lord sows his seeds. See, the bad are sown among the good. And if you can see it all, I don't care if you got one eye and it barely works. I don't care if you got bad hearing and you gotta say, huh? I can't hear, and you got a hearing aid and it barely works. All right? It doesn't take long before, if you're living in this world, or if you have any morals at all, it doesn't take long to see and to hear of the obvious acts of the devil that he's doing in the world today, right? I mean, it's all over the place. It doesn't take long to see the obvious fact the devil is sowing seeds into this world, actively sowing evil seeds into the world. We've got murder. People taking each other's lives for a wallet full of money, or just to get revenge, or maybe just for greed, or maybe just because they are evil and they're overcome with that and they just want to kill somebody. That's evil. That is the devil working, including the hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands, if not a million unborn children that are murdered. And that's right here in this country. That's not the whole world. That are murdered each year in the womb. Just in the U.S. If that doesn't scream the fact that the devil is sowing evil seeds into this world, church, nothing does. There's rape, there's child abuse, there's robbery, there's riots, there's corruption. It goes on and on and on. All the things that we see, the evilness is going on in the world. And these are just to name a few, unfortunately. But see, this should cause us to be alert, to stay alert this morning, no doubt. But what really should wake us up this morning, what really should get our attention this morning, is the fact that these weeds, these evil seeds that are growing up, the weeds that are growing up are also in the church. They're planted in the same field. Think about how many churches, just think about this for a second. Think about how many preachers, think about how many denominations have started to conform to the world, right? Paul said, don't conform to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're a new creation in Christ, where the church should be following Christ, but instead the church, we see this confirmation happening right here, this people, the church conforming to the ways of the world, what's politically correct or what's popular at the moment. Different preachers doing the same thing. They may have a seminary degree. They may have an ordination certificate hanging on an office in a church somewhere. They may preach a sermon every week. They might read some verses out of the Bible when they preach. But they're weeds in the field. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. We just read it. There are weeds in God's field. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about it in chapter 11. He said, these people are false prophets and false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. So he's saying we shouldn't be surprised by this, because even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So while we're living in contentment, so while we're okay half-heartedly living for Christ, the enemy is in our field planting weeds of destruction right underneath of our nose. The enemy is planting seeds and planting weeds of destruction as we sleep. Look with me at verse 26. Matthew 13, 26, Jesus says, when the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. Now see, in my studies this week, I found it interesting that the most common weed, and most likely what Jesus was referring to, was that would grow in the wheat fields, was called a darnel weed. And I don't know why. Maybe if your name is Darnell, look, nothing against you. It's just what I looked up this week, okay? It's not saying you're an evil weed, all right? But it was called the darnel weed. And this darnel weed would sprout up with the wheat. And at first, it would even look like the wheat plant. So the farmer would come out and he'd be like, man, look at all of it that's sprouting. Look at what God is doing. Look at what the crop is doing. But after a while, the farmer could pick out the wheat from the weeds. You see, the weeds wouldn't produce any grain. They wouldn't produce the wheat. But the heads of grain would start to appear on the wheat. Christians, do you know this is how we can identify and how we can be identified as either the wheat or the weeds? This is how we are identified in God's field, in the world. All people can appear righteous during a church service or a religious practice. We can all look like wheat when we come to church on Sunday morning. But it's during the fruit-bearing stage in our life that really sets us apart and shows the difference between the wheat and the weeds. The weeds in the church can also, or they can only hide their true intentions, their true heart, their true what they really are, or maybe what they really are not for so long, only for so long. Eventually, they will be seen for what they are. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus says this: a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. I love how Jesus puts it so deep but so simple, right? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 says this: so now we can tell who are children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. And there it is, right there in black and white. We must remember that there are evil seeds growing even among the good seeds of righteousness. And the fruit they bear, or the fruit that they do not bear, will identify them. Let's look at verse 27 through 30. It says this. Jesus says this: the farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them. And I'll put my wheat in the barn. So where does evil come from? And why is the evil in this world allowed to continue? Have you ever asked? You ever ask God that? Like, God, why are you letting all this continue? Where does this come from? And why is it that, have you ever heard anybody say, well, there's a God? Why does all this bad stuff happen? You ever heard anybody use that excuse? Well, let's answer those questions this morning. Hopefully we can answer them. So number one, where does evil come from? Well, the obvious or the short version of that question that you could just say, well, it comes from the devil. It comes from the enemy. The devil plants this evil that we see in the world. But if we're going to really keep pressing on in the middle of all this, like Paul said, he said, I press on. I haven't achieved it yet, but I press on. If we're really going to keep fighting the good fight that Paul told Timothy to do, of righteousness and to pursue righteousness and those good things and run away from the evil things, for us to really grasp that, we have to take the complete revelation found in God's Word. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is that original sower, and He's the original creator. He is the master, and He is the owner of His field. This world isn't ours, it's His. And He created man to be perfect with Him here, right? He created us to be in His image. And He planted within us a spirit of right and wrong that we call a conscience. Genesis chapter 1, if you go right to the very beginning, it says, then God said, let us make human beings, listen to this, church, in our image, okay? And it goes on to say, to be like us. And he goes on to say, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. You see, God created us to look like Him, but He also created us to be like Him, to be perfect and righteous and holy. But something along the way happened, and it didn't take very long. Immediately after the creation of this world, the enemy, he went right to work sowing those evil seeds into the garden. And he began with Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, you go over just a little bit longer. We were just talking about this on Tuesday night at the men's study. The serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" Remember we talked about the devil is the liar. He is a deceiver. He always was prowling around looking for someone to devour. And ever since this, the enemy has been sowing nothing but weeds into God's field of wheat. Did God really say that, Anthony? Does God really care if you just mess around with this sin a little bit this week? Does God really love you, Anthony? Is God really going to forgive you for that? Does God really wash away your sins when Jesus hung on the cross? Did Christ really raise from the grave? Could that have really happened? That's the devil. That's the devil, and that's what he does. Did God really say that? Does his word really say that? So evil does come from the enemy. Number two, why does God allow the evil to continue in this world? Well, I believe there's two main reasons that I believe in my heart that this is allowed to continue. Like we said, number one, earlier, sometimes it can be hard to distinguish, right? It can be hard to distinguish between the wheat and the weeds. And Jesus told us in other scriptures, he tells us time and time again, you know what? He says, don't worry about the telephone pole in your eye. Don't worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye when you got a telephone pole hanging out of your eye, right? We're not supposed to judge others. Why? Well, number one, because we're not God, right? Anytime we try to judge somebody, we can't judge perfectly because we're broken ourselves. We're not God, so we're not supposed to judge other people. Only God can truly judge with complete justice and fairness. So if I was to go around as the pastor in this body and every on Sunday morning, and all I did was to go around and try to remove the weeds from the congregation, don't nobody leave this morning. I'm not going to start calling people out. I would do more damage in the garden than I would good. I would run people off. People are like, man, I ain't going to that church. Every time I come there, the pastor's telling me how messed up I am. Or he's pointing out all my sins, and he's no better than me. And what's he doing? He's out there telling me that I need to get rid of this weed in my life or whatever. I would do more damage than good, and I would run people off. Think about it. Who would want to be a part of a church or come to a church service where everybody in the congregation was trying to pull the weeds in their garden and all the weeds in their life, the sin, and pointing out what's wrong with them? Listen to what Jesus said when the religious leaders questioned why he spent time with sinners. In my translation, in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, before 17, he says, "Why do you eat with such scum?" That's what the religious people said. Jesus, why are you hanging out with these scums? This is right after he calls Matthew, the tax collector, to come and follow him. And this is what he says. When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Oh, I love that. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. If somebody's here this morning and they've let the weeds of life grow over them and they're wrapped up in sin, if I've been wrapped up in sin this week, nobody has to tell me. I know it, and I'm dealing with it in my heart. If you're sinning this week and you've been tangled up in sin, you know it. Nobody needs to point that out for you. Earlier we talked about those weeds called darnel. Did you know that, I was reading about this as well, that these roots, what they would do and why they were so dangerous and why Jesus used them as an example, is they would, when they would grow amongst the wheat, not only would they pop up with the wheat, but down under the soil, the roots would entangle themselves with the roots of the wheat. So they would get all entangled in with the roots of the good plant. Therefore, if the workers would have pulled up the weeds, the wheat would have also died with it and come up with it. I believe Jesus is telling us to focus on being the wheat this morning. Focus on being the wheat. Focus on growing in God's garden where He's planted us. We need to focus on the harvest in spite of the weeds. Why? Because real judgment, true judgment, is not for us. And it's coming. And it's in God's time. True judgment is coming. You see, this is the second reason that I believe that evil is allowed to continue for this time period. Even though it may seem like a long time, if it's hundreds, if not thousands of years, the Bible tells us what? 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. We have to look at it from a heavenly perspective because the day of judgment is coming. If we believe that, church, we have to stay focused. And this day of judgment is not to be carried out by you and me and by man, but by Christ when He returns. When He returns, Jesus and His angels, you know what they're going to do? They're going to come and separate the wheat and the weeds. And the weeds are going to get thrown into the fire. They're going to receive that judgment of God. And the wheat, those of us who are actively growing and following Christ, and we have put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, we're going to be gathered up and we're going to be taken into Christ and taken into God's barn and be stored there for all eternity, worshiping Him, loving Him with no pain and no suffering. And I have to remind myself often, you have to remind yourself today if you're like me, that God's timing is perfect. No matter what, God's timing this morning is perfect. God's judgment this morning is perfect. So as we close this morning, I'd ask the worship band if they come back up. And we need to be reminded today before we leave not to let the weeds in the field distract us from what God has planned for us in Christ. Are we listening to that this morning, church? Are we listening to the message that Christ has for us? Not to let the weeds, all the evil in the world, distract us from what God has for us in the field in which He has planted us. Our purpose is to be the wheat in the field. Put all of our strength, all of our passion, all of our desires, all of our energy should be focusing on sowing good seeds and producing good fruit. Now, does this mean that we need to ignore the evil in the world? No, it doesn't mean that. Does this mean that we need to openly allow evil or false prophets to teach in our church? Absolutely not. Evil should always be a great concern to us. But we must always be before the Lord, seeking His guidance on how to deal with that evil. And we should never let the evil distract us from doing what God has planned for us. You see, the devil loves to put the evil that's in this world. He loves to put the seeds of evil, those evil weeds, right on the front page of the paper, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He likes to put it right in our face when we open up the news, when we open up social media or whatever it is. And if we're not careful, we can get distracted by trying to pull up the weeds. I'm going to pull up all the evil in the world. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get passionate. I'm going to go fix all the evil things in the world. That we forget that our roots are being damaged in the process. Producing fruit for Him is our focus and what it should be. And we keep our focus on the heavenlies. We keep focused on the Scriptures. We focus on prayer. We focus on worshiping God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And we focus on serving in Jesus' name. We keep focus on the harvest, that day when Christ will return. And He'll take the wheat and store it in His barn, and the evil will be cast into the fire. We have to believe that this morning, church. So as we leave this morning, as we conclude the service, first thing I think that we have to ask ourselves, are you the wheat this morning, or are you the weeds? It all starts there. Are you the wheat, or are you the weeds? All right, if you're already the wheat and you know that, and God has planted His seed in your heart and you received it and you're serving and you're loving Him and you're trying to follow Him, are you focused on the evil, or are you focusing on producing fruit? Which one are you spending all your energy? Are you focusing on the bad news and the evil of the world, or are you focusing on what you can do where God has planted you? I would encourage you today to spend time. As we sing, the worship band, I'm going to be, Corbin and Jenny are going to be up here if somebody needs prayer during the song, but I'll be available after the song. But I'm going to sing this song again, Holy, Holy, Holy. We're going to sing the Revelation song, and I would encourage you today to sing along, but also to spend time praying to God about those evil weeds that distract you from focusing on your purpose. What is it in this world that's just driving you nuts? Is it the corruption? Is it the political stuff? Is it the stuff that's going on in the country that you feel that the devil is operating in? Is it something in your life personally? Is it something in your family? Is it unforgiveness? What is it that you need to pray about that's distracting you from producing and growing in God's garden? And after the song is over, if you'd like to join me in prayer, if you want to pray and have me join you in prayer, I'll stay up here as long as it takes. But as we sing this morning, I would encourage you, spend time really letting God evaluate your heart again this morning. What is it that distracts you? What is the evilness in the world that's got you so bound up and distracted that you're forgetting that your purpose is to be the wheat? All right? Your purpose is to produce grain. Your purpose is to stay focused on the sunshine and keep growing, and don't worry about the weeds that are growing up around you. Because when we do that, we're going to overshadow the evil. When we really go out into the world and we start saying, I'm going to produce fruit for God, all of a sudden, the evil kind of starts fading away. When we stop sleeping in the field, and we stop and we continuously are working, and we're saying, no, we're going to keep sowing good seeds, or letting Christ sow good seeds through me. Spend some time as we sing, praying and giving it to the Lord today. Maybe praying and praying the name of Jesus over. It says, Jesus, your name is power. That's what this song says. In the name of Jesus, they rebuke those evil things and let Him fight for us. Proverbs chapter 20, I can't remember, I read it this week. It says, don't say that I'll make it right with this person, or I'm going to get justice over this person. It says, no. It says, let the Lord handle the matter. Somebody today, if not all of us, need to let the Lord handle the matter of the evilness in His field that He owns, because His day is coming where He's going to come back and place His perfect judgment. And those of us who are the wheat, we're going to be gathered in the barn. Amen? Amen. And that's something to praise God for this morning. If God is calling you this morning,
amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You and we praise You today. And Lord, we just thank You for the righteous people that You are planting all over the world, that You're planting right here in Your field at Fork Union Baptist. God, I just pray as we go out this week, Lord, help us to focus on producing grain for You. Help us to keep our vision and keep us growing upward and looking at You, looking towards You and Your guidance, looking to Your day of judgment, Your return, instead of focusing on all the evil things that are going on in the world. Help us to stay alert, oh God, to watch out, but to stay focused and not get distracted on the evil things that the devil is trying to distract us with. Yes. Let's stay focused on the heavenlies this week as we go out. Lord, we love You and we praise You, and we give You all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.